Can we start?
We can start.
Okay. I'm Steve McDowell.
And I'm Matt Kimball. Hey, I don't have my fancy mic today.
You listen to Data Centric Podcast. You sound good.
Not great though.
Even though you're up in Boston, far away.
I'm in Boston. So I probably have probably taking a little bit longer to travel to you over the wire, my voice.
It is. There's some latency. Yeah.
Figured.
Yeah. Anyway, hey, so let's talk about IBM today. There's a lot of news.
Lots of news. Lots of news.
Lots of news.
You want to hit Red Hat first, or you want to hit?
Let's hit Red Hat. So they IBM yesterday, I guess, as you listen to this, closed the deal with Red Hat. They announced the acquisition back in October of last year, and they announced some details today.
Yes, they did. So I think of all the details, I think maybe starting a little bit higher in level is kind of, we know what this all means, right? And I think we all kind of understand why the strategy of IBM here in purchasing Red Hat, getting the footprint in the enterprise data center, Red Hat with RHEL and with OpenShift are kind of big in the enterprise, are big in the enterprise. So I understand the strategy. Can IBM, and I mean this in a good way, but can IBM allow Red Hat to stay neutral and its own entity within the big IBM fortress?
Well, I think there's a long-term and a short-term answer to that. And long-term, probably not, right? But short-term, I think that everything they're saying says yes, right? And the way they position this acquisition is it's all about hybrid cloud, right? So the key parts of the portfolio they're interested in are OpenStack, OpenShift, and Kubernetes. JBoss and kind of Ansible for DevOps. They did make the comment, I don't know if it was in the call today when they talked about the details of the analyst or if it was in their earnings call, but they said one of the things IBM wants to do is bring their expertise in analytics over to kind of the containerization piece of Red Hat's portfolio. Now, what that looks like organizationally, I'm not sure. But it is all about the cloud. Some of the details that shook out today is the current Red Hat CEO, Jim Whitehurst, he'll report directly to Jenny, right, who's the CEO of IBM. Yep. And their revenue and results will report under the cloud and cognitive segment.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure what cognitive is, but cloud, I think we understand.
Yeah. So, yes. And I to what you're saying about kind of buying the distributions behind Ansible and Kubernetes, get it.
It's not just distribution, right? I mean, you think about Red Hat's professional services as well, right? They align very nicely with IBM is doing. It gives them a nice reach.
Like IBM's global services?
Yeah.
Indeed.
But it is part of their cloud play. IBM's cloud revenue, I think it's worth pointing out, has grown. It was 4% of their business in 2013. Yeah. In 2018, it was 25% of
their business. Yeah.
And that's 25% of almost $80 billion. So if you do that math in your head, I can't. but it's a big chunk of billions.
And Red Hat's, Red Hat is no small chunk either. Right? I mean, I guess compared to IBM, it is. But
Red Hat's total revenue was just under $4 billion last year. I think a 3.9.
Yeah.
Or 3.9.
Yeah. So I mean, there's, and you're talking about a 3.9 billion with very high margins, right? So,
Yeah. And IBM bought them for almost 10x revenue. I think that will take a while to play out, but that's for the stock analyst to figure out. But I think it's a nice compliment to what IBM's doing in the cloud.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt, it is. Without a doubt, it is. And I believe that. And I think there are a lot of analysts out there and some contrarians, not contrarians, but naysayers out there that are a little bit skeptical. But I actually believe that this is going to benefit both companies. And I think that you're going to find that Jenny and team are going to handle this integration, if you will, pretty smartly, because I think everybody understands how important it is for Red Hat to be neutral and independent, at least in the very long short term, if you will, right?
Yeah. I think there's good, I hate to use the word synergy, right? But I think there are good synergies between the two. And if IBM can let Red Hat stand alone while they go off and spend a couple of years figuring out how to do a deeper integration and leverage kind of the, you know, bringing analytics or whatever other short-term plays they are, it's going to be good for both and good for their customers. Yep. So it's worth pointing out, and people have commented on this, that, you know, some of Red Hat's customer/partners include folks like Amazon AWS and Microsoft Azure and Google Cloud and Alibaba and all these public cloud guys, where they both sell their services through them and partner with them in other dimensions. Mm-hmm. I don't see that as much competition. If you look at what IBM has been doing with their software stack over the past couple of years is, yes, they continue to embrace the IBM private cloud offerings that they sell to enterprise, but they're very much embracing or at least acknowledging that the world is one where public cloud is going to play a role in your IT and enterprise architecture. We're starting to see them embrace public cloud more and more.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. One of the things that as I've spoken with folks at IBM and I've looked at the cloud private solution, one of the highlights they kind of start to point out is the integration to third party public clouds. And I think it's to what you're saying, it's really smart. I mean, there's one thing to say, yes, you know, we have customers that have very specific needs. And the ability to use IBM technology, both kind of on-prem, off-prem, as a private cloud with our cloud is great. But to take it that step further and say to what you just said, yes, it's a bigger world out there, and we have to learn how to be good allies and good neighbors with the other folks in the world. Mm-hmm. Really smart. And I think that also to what you're saying is where kind of Red Hat will help with that kind of that, not just perception in the market, but the actual integration to those third-party clouds. So yeah, I think it's all around a good move.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And that ties in with some storage announcements that are happening today from IBM. They're announcing a slew of new things, and we'll go in detail on those in a minute. One of their big announcements that they're making today is around Spectrum Discover, right? Which is part of the Spectrum software suite. It's all around big data and managing the content of my big data. So they're now embracing not just their own products, but they're supporting data that lives on Dell Isilon or NetApp or Amazon AWS S3. So IBM's really broadening who they play with, and I think that's very much in recognition that it's not about the hardware or the platform or even the location on-prem or in cloud, right? If I'm delivering a software-defined solution, it needs to work across all of these. So I really applaud IBM stepping and putting Spectrum Discover across a heterogeneous set of platforms.
Well, it seems reminiscent to me, Steve, of kind of how Microsoft has shifted and pivoted their strategy over the last few years of embracing your competition and the competition, right? And I believe it's you see what it's done for Microsoft. You have to think IBM is going to find kind of similar results, right?
Well, it's a win. It's a win for IBM's customers, and IBM has never been one who clings to a specific set of hardware underlying technologies. Mm-hmm. IBM's strength, certainly in the last 25 years, has always been how are the architectures evolving and how can we intercept that or even jump beyond that, right? They were very early in software-defined everything. They were very early in cloud, very early in containers. So, this is just an extension of that, I'm sure the IBM storage hardware team would like it to run on IBM storage hardware, and they make some stellar hardware, and I hope that happens for them. But the reality is most enterprises are heterogeneous. So let's take, the value we can get out of software and scale those across. So I'm not going to belabor that. Earlier this week, we had Eric Herzog, the chief marketing officer for IBM storage, stop by our studio and go in depth on exactly what it is they're announcing today. So I'm just going to cut over and let him tell the story. So I'm here with Eric Herzog, the Chief Marketing Officer and Vice President of Storage Channels at IBM. Thanks for taking the time, Eric. We talked, I know, about 6 weeks ago, all about IBM storage and what's going on there. And you hinted at some second half announcements, and they're here today, right? We talked about your focus around AI and big data, around data protection, right? Why don't you tell us what you announced this week?
Sure. So we had a big announcement this week. In addition to your podcast, there also is a recording available online at IBM.com. And we have a number of different pillars. As you know, IBM is very focused on applications, workloads, and use cases. And we see four key pillars. One is around cyber resiliency. One is around hybrid multi-cloud storage, making sure that storage can easily integrate into hybrid and to multiple public cloud environments. Then modern data protection. This is not your grandfather's backup. You've got to be able that you can reuse the data and make sure that those secondary data sources, snaps, replication, and backups can be used for a test, for DevOps, and other functions. And then storage for AI and big data. So while we had elements in this announcement that were across all of them, there were some big focus items. And for that, it was really around storage for AI and big data and around modern data protection. So those are the two big elements in the launch that we had this week. We had a little bit on cyber resiliency, a little bit on hybrid multi-cloud, but the big ticket items were really around storage for AI and big data and modern data protection technologies.
So what did you announce on storage, AI, and big data? There were some supporting non-IBM platforms.
Yeah, so we announced IBM Spectrum Discover for non-IBM platforms. So we already supported IBM Spectrum Scale, yep. IBM Cloud Object Storage. And we now announce support for EMC Isilon for NetApp and for AWS and others who support the S3 protocol. Now, the big thing here is what IBM Spectrum Discover does is allow you to create metadata catalogs, custom metadata, and integrate those templates that you create automatically with your big data, AI, or analytics software. So we have an API that all those pieces of software can write to. And while we've already been supporting Spectrum Scale and IBM Cloud Object Storage, we are now supporting third parties in the file space and in the object space. So AWS for object and EMC and NetApp for file. So that's a big, big deal. It allows them to save big money from a data scientist perspective and a storage guy, because as you're getting ready to do those workloads, you're constantly prepping the data. And now you don't have to do it. This Spectrum Discover not only will create the metadata catalog, it allows you to use custom metadata, but allows you to save them as templates. So let's take a simplification. Let's say I'm company X, and I'm going to do three different analytic workloads on half an exabyte of data. Well, if I'm going to run one on Monday, one on Wednesday, one on Friday, there's constant prep today with the data scientist and the storage administrator. Mm-hmm. But when you use Spectrum Discover, you can save those as templates. And if you have a different analytic workload, guess what? You create a fourth template, and then the software automatically could interface with the API into the catalogs that are created and allow them to use that metadata, which is, of course, data about the data, to more effectively traverse half an exabyte or an exabyte of storage, which is very, very big.
And now we're enabling IT shops to leverage the power of Spectrum Discover, which is fairly unique in its capabilities in the industry. Without having to upgrade or change out my storage subsystem, right?
So I'm right. It's a software-only product.
Leveraged by existing infrastructure.
Right, existing infrastructure, whether it be ours, EMC Isilon, or NetApp's, or an S3 object store. So now related to that is IBM has its own object store, IBM Cloud Object Storage. Mm-hmm. And we announced some updates to IBM Cloud Object Storage. And what we've done is we've made it less expensive. We've made it faster. And we have announced a new array. IBM Cloud Object Storage is available in three configurations: software only, embedded in an array, or as a cloud instantiation. You choose whichever is better for you. So what we've done is we've did an upgrade on the software side, and what we're really focused on this new one is reducing cost for our end user. So one, we've got a lower cost per gigabyte now of about 46% compared to our previous generation on the array side. Higher density, 28% more capacity in a single rack compared with our past generation. So now we can go almost to 10.2 petabytes, whereas our previous array-based version of IBM Cloud Object Storage only supported 8. 20% better throughput. As you know, object storage is very bandwidth dependent, mm-hmm. and now the throughput is up 20%. And you can get 27% more capacity in a configuration. So it's a great win for everybody. We've increased our base unit. We call the Slice store. We've upgraded all of the Slice stores. The Slice store 12, the 53, and the 106 have all been upgraded. So, of course, you've got all of these great things. You've got, of course, legendary data availability. Data security, we've got not only encryption and rest and in flight, but we also have data locking. So you can't have two people obviously working on something at the same time. And we also have write once, read many technology known as WORM embedded. This gives you better flexibility of how you configure. And obviously now you can scale out to even a bigger density configuration with IBM Cloud Object Storage. So it's a nice adjunct and, of course, is very much centric, of course, on the big data and analytic workload space.
And data protection, you made some changes to Spectrum Protect.
So on Spectrum Protect Plus, we now support AWS. We've supported AWS with Spectrum Protect. We're now extending that to Spectrum Protect Plus. We can back up to an object store. We can back up an object store. So if you have an object store which needs backup, Spectrum Protect Plus can do that. Mm-hmm. We can back up to an object store. And as you know, we also include some snapshot and replication technology in both Protect and Protect Plus that now, guess what, can handle an object store as well on AWS, so supporting the S3 protocol. So we've had that in Spectrum Protect. We're now extending that to Spectrum Protect Plus. So a big announcement today, heavily on storage for AI and big data and modern data protection. Those are the big, big takeaways today and really are giving us some real leg up. As you know, we continue to push the ball forward at IBM. We've got a broad portfolio really focused on storage for AI and big data, modern data protection solutions, cyber resiliency, and hybrid cloud and multi-cloud storage. So those are key things. And the big announcements today were really around storage for AI and big data and modern data protection.
No, and I like a lot that you're supporting non-IBM platforms, right? And on both the cloud and the array side. That's huge.
Well, remember, we're one of the biggest providers of storage software in the world. Mm-hmm. And most of our software, let's take Spectrum Protect. Protect and Protect Plus, we can back up any busy arrays, including all of our competitors.
Yeah.
So again, one of our big mantras at IBM Storage has always been to support and had open platforms on our storage software side, whether that be software-defined storage. You can take our software-defined storage and create a storage array without you buying any infrastructure from us, just buy the software only. Yeah. We've done the same thing on data protection for years. So we're just making sure that that's one of our key tenets, which is why, for example, Protect and Protect Plus support not only IBM Cloud, but AWS. Why our Spectrum Discover, which started with IBM Cloud Object Storage and IBM Spectrum Scale, now supports AWS on the object side, EMC Isilon, and NetApp on the file side. So we want to continue to push that forward from a software perspective. We always continue that. And in fact, even with our arrays, if you have a Flash System 9100 or a StoreWise 5100, both of which have NVMe inside the array and also support NVMe over Fibre Channel, but they support Spectrum Virtualize, and Spectrum Virtualize will deliver enterprise class data services, tiering, migration, snapshot, replication, data at rest encryption, compression, block dedupe, thin provisioning, not only for our arrays, but over 450 arrays total, most of which are not IBM logoed. So even on our arrays, when they're embedded with our software, we provide you that heterogeneous support that you may need, whether you be a big company, medium or small. If you've got arrays that are not IBM logoed, we can support you. We can back it up. Mm-hmm. We can make sure that it will work from a primary storage perspective with block, all these features we have with Spectrum Virtual. So that's a big tenet for us, and that's why Spectrum Tech Plus for AWS and what we already did with Spectrum Protect and what we're doing with Discover are following in line with what our storage software strategy is, making sure we're open and supporting all of our competitors and making sure that you get the right solution for the end user. Remember, it's all about applications, workloads, and use cases, and you never know what storage they may have. And on the software side, we want to make sure that we support all the storage out there, not just IBM's own storage solutions.
Oh, that's a great set of announcements. I've given you this feedback before. You make the press and analysts work. Your competitors, you know, they do a major announcement once a year and maybe a speed bump in the second half. IBM Storage, every quarter, you seem to have a very substantial set of announcements. You guys are execution machine, so it's fun to watch, but, you know, frustrating to have to cover.
Well, thank you. I mean, the big thing is we deliver the right applications, workloads, and use cases for storage for AI and big data, modern data protection, cyber resiliency, and hybrid multi-cloud storage. And, you know, that requires you to make sure you've got a lot of things, not to mention our solutions blueprints, which we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. So, no, congratulations on the launch, and thanks for taking the time.
Great. Well, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Great. So that was Eric, and he did a great job explaining what IBM's offering and what the value prop is. You know, my big takeaway, Matt, is you know, IBM is recognizing that it's a heterogeneous world, and the value they bring, you know, as stellar as their hardware can be, is really in the software-defined suite, right? Mm-hmm. And with Spectrum Discover, it's acknowledging the role of AI and big data in the enterprise. Some of the content-based classification tools are really neat, but that it works across Isilon, NetApp, Amazon, those are really the impressive new things for me. And then the other, you know, we continue to talk about data protection. It seems to be on top of everyone's list when talking about data strategy. But Spectrum Protect, now playing with Amazon S3, right? It's just another public cloud integration. That's good. That's goodness for IT.
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this. You and I have talked about this a little bit, and listening to Eric, you know, I can't figure out if IBM followed Microsoft's lead or Microsoft followed IBM's lead, because IBM's been doing it for some time. But I think this notion of, you know, instead of building up your own kind of silos and your proprietary stacks of software and saying, you know, we're going to own the enterprise versus the other guys, I think it's increasingly clear that that's not the right way to go. You look at the way that IBM is in both in their storage announcements and what they're doing with Red Hat. I mean, even some of what they've done with the power architecture around open compute and other areas, they really are embracing this notion that, you know, it's a brave new world out there. And the more you can integrate with the, you know, with all of the different, elements that are sitting inside of the data center, all the different stacks, all the different technologies, the better off you're going to be. And, you know, I think probably as a company, it's, you know, as a large organization, it can probably be pretty scary to kind of go down that path, but it's a smart way to go and the right way to go. And you have
I agree with that. And to be clear, I don't think Microsoft or IBM, either one, are jumping both feet into saying we're going to open source anything.
No.
But what they're doing that's new is they're recognizing open source as kind of a pure set of technologies.
Right.
And that's the right thing if you look at how open source has taken on the enterprise over the last 20 years.
It's a first-class citizen, right?
Right. And nobody knows that better than certainly Microsoft, who's lost, you know, a lot of traction to open source alternatives. And even IBM, who coming into 2000 with AIX was a strong Unix player, but the world went x86 and Linux.
Right. But, you know, you saw how Microsoft shifted, you know, they pivoted once, you know, they see where the world is moving and you kind of pivot to align yourself better. You look at what they've done with Azure, you look at with how they've embraced open source. And it's while they have lost, maybe they've lost some share in one area, you gain in other areas because of the way you've kind of re-architected your business. And IBM has done the same thing. So it's pretty brilliant. These companies that go down this path of, you know, we're going to be the single source for everything in your data center, I just think it's not a smart thing to do.
No. So there we are. Oh, my news ticker is clicking. You might not have seen this on who you're traveling, but there's an organization called the IIAR. Have you heard of them, Matt?
No.
The Institute of Industry Analyst Relations. I know you've heard of this because we got surveys from them a few weeks ago asking us to rank how the AR groups at all of our big partner companies are. Did you take the survey?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Yes. The rankings came out. They had a big party over the weekend. What are you laughing at? Were you invited?
I didn't get that invite. Was it a 4th of July celebration slash?
It was something like that. Anyway, my takeaway. So analyst relations, those are the guys that take care of people like you and me when we go to the conferences or we need information or we just need to connect, right, with a technology company. The AR guys are the ones who step up and do that for us. Mm-hmm. So they do the ranking. They name some people, right, as part of this. Mm-hmm. And that's honestly where I got uncomfortable during the survey. It started asking me names of AR people and what they've done for me. And I was like, ooh. But what was interesting, so they do the top four AR organizations. And this is the ranking 1, 2, 3, 4. So one is Oracle, 2 is Informatica, 3 is IBM, and 4 is HPE. So we're talking about IBM. So kudos to IBM. They're number 3. And I think that's number 1 among the tier 1 OEMs. Mm-hmm. Up from, I want to say, number 5 from last year, and HPE slid into 4th place. And we just got back from the HP Discover conference. So
they're fantastic, that team.
That team is fantastic. So just congratulations to both sets of those AR teams.
Yeah, both. You're right. Both IBM. I don't deal with Oracle much or said Informatica, but both IBM and HPE have been, they are stellar organizations. They really do. They kill it when it comes to AR.
You know what? I said Informatica. I'm going to correct myself. It was Oracle, then SAP, then okay. IBM, and then HPE. Anyway, so this was an IBM-themed program. Did you know IBM used to have a company song?
I did not. Wow, you have pulled it all out today. Let's hear it. Can you sing it? Hum it?
We're gonna close out with the theme song from IBM.
Let's hear it.
We are not, by the way, sponsored in any way, shape, or form by IBM.
No, we're not. We're not sponsored by anybody.
Books and turn to page 5. Page 5 in the songbook, we'll do one verse and two choruses of Ever Onward on page 5 of the songbook. There's a thrilling start for all who we're about to toast. The corporation that will win the land. We're here to cheer each pioneer and also proudly boast of that man of men, our friend and guiding hand. The name of T.J. Watson means the courage none can stem, and we feel honored to be here to talk to you.
First chorus.
Ever onward, ever onward, that's the spirit that has brought us fame. We're big but bigger we will be, we can fail for all can see, that to serve humanity has been our aim. Our waters now are known in every zone. Our reputation sparkles like a gem. The waterway through and through feels we sure to conquer to the ever onward IBM.
Second stanza.
Ever onward, ever onward. We're bound for the top to never fall. Right here and now we thankfully pledge sincerest loyalty to the corporation that's the best of all. Our leaders we revere, and while we're here, let's show the world just what we think.
Let's sing, men. So let us sing.
Men, sing, men. Once or twice.